ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. The greatness of any event can be gauged from the preparation made for it and by the number of individuals involved in it. An ordinary event has an ordinary preparation, and a grand event, a great event, one has to make great preparations for it. And we are very shortly about to witness a grand occasion for which preparations have commenced not just a week ago, not just a month ago, but an entire year in advance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jannah is decorated and beautified for the whole year in preparation for Ramadan. Such a grand occasion that when it arrives, even the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get involved in it. And they seek forgiveness for the fasting person. This grand moment is the holy month of Ramadan. Inshallah, in a couple of hours we will know whether tonight is Taraweeh or whether tomorrow is Taraweeh. And the greatness and significance of this month can adequately be understood from the following hadith. It is narrated by an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: Atakum Ramadan shahrun mubarak, faradallahu alaykum siyamah, tuftahu bihi abwabu as-samaa, wa tughlaqu fihi abwabu al-jahim, wa tughallu fihi mardatu ash-shayatin, lillahi fihi laylatun khayrun min alf shahr, man hurima khayraha faqad hurim. It is narrated on the authority of Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. He narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ramadan has come to you, and it is a blessed month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting in it compulsory for you. In this month, the gates of the heavens are opened, and the gates of Jahannam are closed, and the rebellious shayateen are chained up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a night within it which is better than 1,000 months. And whoever is deprived of goodness is indeed deprived of all goodness. In another hadith, it is narrated an Ubadah ibn Samit رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يوما وحضر رمضان آتاكم رمضان شهر بركة يغشيكم الله فيه فينزل الرحمة ويحط الخطايا ويستجيب فيه الدعاء ينظر الله إلى تنافسكم ويباهي بكم ملائكته فأروا الله من أنفسكم خيرا فإن الشقي من حرم فيه رحمة الله. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one day when Ramadan has come near, the month of Ramadan, the month of blessings has come to you, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns towards you and sends down to you His special mercy. He forgives your sins, He accepts du'as, and He looks at your competition in good, and He boasts to the angels about you. So show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your righteousness. For verily, the most unfortunate person is he who is deprived of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy in this very special month. The month of Ramadan, my beloved brothers and listeners, is a month of great opportunities. The opportunities that a believer looks for are the opportunities of the akhirah that make him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we will talk about some advices to take on board to maximize our time in the holy month of Ramadan. Firstly, we should try and read our tahajjud prayer, the nafil salah. The virtues of tahajjud are many. Although on a normal day we desire to wake up for tahajjud throughout the year, many of us don't get the opportunity. But Ramadan is the ideal time since we are waking up for suhoor. Together with the physical nourishment, we should take some spiritual nourishment as well. Apart from tahajjud, we should try to perform other nafil salahs as well. The reward of a nafil in this month is equal to that of a farad. However, if a person has outstanding qadha salah, then he should read his qadha salah in place of the nafil salah. In this month, we should make an abundance amount of dua. Ramadan is the month of crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and presenting our needs before Him. Since du'as are readily accepted in this month, it is narrated, عن أبي سعيد رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله تبارك وتعالى عتقا في كل يوم وليلة يعني في رمضان وإن لكل مسلم في كل يوم وليلة دعوة مستجابة. Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, during each day and night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets free a great number of souls from the fire of Jahannam. And for every Muslim during the day and during the night, there is at least one dua which is certainly accepted. In another hadith, it is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thalathatun la turaddu da'watuhum, as-sa'im hatta yuftar. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three people whose du'as are not rejected. And one of them people is the fasting person until he breaks his fast. We learn from the ahadith, my beloved brothers, that there are certain special du'as that we should be making throughout the day in the holy month of Ramadan. And there are four. The first is to ask for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through reciting the kalima tayyibah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, as much as possible on our tongues. Secondly, we should try and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by continuously saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Rabbi, min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. We should continuously ask for emancipation from the fire of Jahannam, to be saved from the fire of Jahannam continuously throughout the day, and Lastly, we should be asking for entry into Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, Jannatul A'la. We must seek this every single day during the holy month of Ramadan. Furthermore, there are certain special occasions for dua as well. For example, at suhoor time, at iftar time, during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and especially the odd nights from the last 10. The next advice for today is that Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an Majid, and all other divine books were revealed in the month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would revise the Holy Qur'an with Angel Jibra'il alayhi salam in the holy month of Ramadan. And the Salaf al-Saliheen, our pious predecessors, they had a great attachment with the Qur'an, and they completed it many times during the holy month of Ramadan. It is narrated, Aswad, rahimahullah, he would complete the recitation of the entire Qur'an Majid every night, every two nights in Ramadan. It is narrated by Hazrat Qatada, rahmatullahi alayhi, that he would complete the Qur'an Majid once a week during the month of Ramadan. And every three nights in Ramadan, and every 1 week outside of Ramadan. And in the last 10 nights, he would complete one entire Qur'an every single night. It is narrated by Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, that they would complete the entire Qur'an twice every single day during the holy month of Ramadan, totaling a total of 60 Qur'an khatam in the holy month of Ramadan. Imam Zuhri, rahmatullahi alayhi, would say, in the beginning of Ramadan, it, meaning the holy month of Ramadan, it is only for reading the Qur'an Majid and feeding other people. As soon as Ramadan began, Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, he would stop his lessons of a hadith, and he would sit in the gatherings of the ulama, and he would begin reciting from the Qur'an. When Ramadan began, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullahi alayhi, would leave out all other nafil ibadah, and he would focus solely on reciting the Qur'an. My beloved brothers, these examples are quoted and mentioned not because they are impossible, but because they are very possible. If we attach ourselves to the Qur'an, then we will find a lot of barakah in our time. And there are many incidents of our akabirin as well. Hazrat Mulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he would recite the Qur'an Majid from the time of Ishraq Salah until late at night. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, rahmatullahi alayhi, he would complete an entire Qur'an daily in the month of Ramadan, and he did this for 42 years of his life. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi would say, one Ramadan I encouraged my friends, my close associates, to try and compete with one another to recite Qur'an. So I set them a target, read two Qur'ans a day, and one will be in your Taraweeh. So that is 61 Qur'ans you will finish. MashaAllah, two of his friends managed to complete the 61 khatams, and one friend made it to 56, and another few friends made it very close as well. As a Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi would mention about the females in his home, I am greatly happy at seeing how the women compete with one another in my household. And he says, I'm not doing it to brag, I'm doing it just to simply mention the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to try to encourage each and every one of you. He says, I can see them competing with one another in reciting the Holy Quran. They would ask each other, how much Quran have you read today? How much Quran have you read today? And then they would compete with one another. Along with all the housework and along with all the tasbihat, the women folk in the home would read 15 juz a day. They would read half the Qur'an in the day. My beloved brothers, we have to do our best to encourage our families, our women folk, our daughters, to recite the Qur'an during the holy month of Ramadan. Not to keep them so busy in the kitchen that all they're doing in Ramadan, they're just preparing the nice lavish menus that we have. MashaAllah, the holy month of Ramadan comes and we bring out all of our special and unique dishes that we don't normally have throughout the year. We bring them out in Ramadan. And our women folk are just busy in the kitchen. And they don't have time for ibadah. We must advise them to cook early in the morning, suffice on simple food and give more time to ibadah. My beloved brothers, if we look at all of these incidents, we see that the practice of our akabirin was so close to the Salaf al-Salihin, the pious predecessors. It is for this very reason that we quote and remember and respect our akabirin and we follow them. Their lives were close to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the Salaf al-Salihin. My beloved brothers, the next advice for today is that we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily as much as possible. The ahadith teach us that we should make two particular forms of dhikr in the holy month of Ramadan, which are very pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the recitation of the first kalima and seeking istighfar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَمَّا الْخَصْلَتَانِ اللَّتَانِ تُرْضُونَ بِهِمَا رَبَّكُمْ فَشَهَادَةُ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَتَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Those actions which shall be of pleasure to your Rabb and that you should bear witness is that you should bear witness that there is no deity to worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning reciting the kalima and seeking istighfar, making istighfar, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. My beloved brothers, the next advice is for the Taraweeh prayer. This is one of the greatest ibadahs in this holy month. It is narrated by Hazrat Salman radiyallahu anhu. He says, قَالَ خَطَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِّن شَعْبَانٍ فَقَالْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ فَرِيضَةً وَقِيَامَ لَيْلِهِ تَطَوُّعًا. Salman radiyallahu anhu reports, on the last day of Sha'ban, which possibly it could be today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us and said, it is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting compulsory by day and he has made sunnah, the Taraweeh salah, by night. It is narrated in another hadith, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man qama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever stands in salah during the holy month of Ramadan with firm faith and with hope of gaining reward, his past sins will be forgiven. Hazrat Sa'id bin Yazid rahimahullah, he said that they used to perform the 20 rakats Taraweeh salah during the month of Ramadan in the time of Umar radiyallahu anhu, and they used to recite long surahs in their normal salahs. And during the era of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, they used to lean on their sticks due to the lengthy rakats of Taraweeh prayer. The virtue of Taraweeh salah can be understood from following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he has mentioned, that when a person is in sajda, he is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahullah, he used to say that in Taraweeh salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving all of us 40 more opportunities to be closer to him. Meaning, in every two rakats, we're doing two sajdas, and we're doing 20 rakats. Therefore, the Taraweeh salah should not be taken as a burden, rather one should complete it with great enthusiasm. My beloved brothers, just a bit of advice as well. If you are coming, then be respectful of everybody when we come to the masjid. We, mashallah, we don't see each other throughout the whole year. But when we come to Taraweeh, we see each other. So it is very normal to want to socialize, to want to talk with our friends. But my beloved brothers, we have been called to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the blessed month of Ramadan. Allah is calling us. Throughout the whole year, we may not have answered that call. But in the holy month of Ramadan, we answer it. And we come to the masjid. It is a very respectful place. It is a sanctified place. It is a place where people come to find peace, serenity, tranquility. They come to find the cure to their problems. And if we come here and we disturb everybody through having loud conversations, by disturbing one another, then we are interfering or being an obstacle in other people's ibadah. We should not do this, my beloved brothers. When we come, if we are coming, We're coming with the intention that we're going to sit as close to the front as possible. We're going to perform our wudu from home. And we're going to come and listen to the salah carefully. We're going to listen to the Taraweeh salah carefully. If we are coming with children, we advise you to get your children in the habit of coming to the masjid. But bear in mind, you are their supervisors. You must supervise them continuously. When they're doing wudu, make sure you're there. When they're coming upstairs, make sure you're there with them. And when you're performing salah, they're standing right next to you. Because my beloved brothers, from experience, I will tell you, if you bring children to the masjid, they will find other children and they will socialize with them and they will disturb everybody. And it will become an interference with everybody's salah. This is not what we want to do. We want you to supervise them. Bring them as long as they can stand next to you. If they are too young and they like to run around, train them at home first. Make your wife stand with them in salah. Or maybe you, if you're at home, stand with them in salah. Train them. When I'm praying, you're standing next to me. And when you are satisfied that my child is now trained, when I start salah, I know he doesn't run away from me. He stands next to me. Then start bringing him to the masjid. Because you know you've trained him. He will stand next to you. Bear these etiquettes in mind, my beloved brothers. And if we are leaving the masjid, bear in mind that there will be people still performing their salah. There will be people still performing taraweeh. If you're leaving early, please bear in mind to be silent on your way out. And of course, when you are outside, you are out in the open, it is late at night, we have non-Muslim neighbors, you must keep the noise down. You know, it should not be that the non-Muslims, our non-Muslim neighbors, have a right upon us because they are our neighbors. We have to respect them. They realize 11 months, the masjid is very quiet. Then all of a sudden, 1 month, everybody starts to disturb us. Everybody starts to wake us up in our sleep. Everybody's making so much noise there. And they're giving us bad-du'a. They're swearing under their breath. They're putting complaints forward. This is not the way that we treat our neighbors, my beloved brothers. We be very respectful. When you're going outside, if you're having a conversation, sit in your car. Nobody can hear you then. Bear in mind all of these etiquettes, my beloved brothers. Another advice for the holy month of Ramadan to take maximum benefit from it is to have sympathy for others and to be generous at all times. These are great qualities to have all the time, not just in Ramadan. However, in the holy month of Ramadan, the reward for this is multiplied greatly. Let us open up our hearts in feeding the poor and lessen the workload of our Muslim domestic workers and servants. It is narrated in a hadith, Ramadan is the month of sympathy. It is the month wherein a believer's sustenance is increased. Whoever feeds a fasting person in order to break his fast, for him, the feeder, there shall be forgiveness of sins and emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. And he will receive the same reward of the fasting person as the one who fed that person, without the person's reward being decreased in any way, shape, or form. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they then said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah, not all of us possess the means whereby we can feed a fasting person to break his fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the same reward to the one who gives a fasting person to break his fast, even a single date, even a drink of water, or even a sip of milk. You will be granted this reward. Whoever lessens the burdens of his servants in this month, or those who he is responsible for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him and will free him from the fire of Jahannam. It is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah that he reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most generous of men. And he was the most generous during the holy month of Ramadan. And when Jibreel alayhi salam visited him, Jibreel alayhi salam would visit him every night and to recite the Quran Majid to him. During this period, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be even more than the rain bearing wind. In one narration, it is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't be asked for anything except that he gave it. And when Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma would fast, he would only break his fast with the poor people and the destitute people. My beloved brothers, another advice for the holy month of Ramadan is that the month of Ramadan is an ideal time to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two of the most important victories in Islam, the Battle of Badr and the conquest of Makkah, the Fath Makkah, took place in this holy and blessed month. Another great opportunity that we have in this month is that of i'tikaf. It was a continuous sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it holds great virtue. This is such an action that if done correctly, one will be able to secure most of the great opportunities that we've mentioned today. In order to make the best of the i'tikaf, it is highly encouraged to spend our i'tikaf in the company of some pious person. If this is not possible, then spend it in your local masjid. Also, another advice for today, my beloved brothers, that together with doing all of these sincere and good actions, one has to make the sincere tawbah from all sins, and he has to totally refrain from committing any sin, especially in this blessed month. In fact, this is the purpose of this month, meaning it is to achieve taqwa. Insha'Allah, by refraining from sin in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the ability to completely abandon sin for the rest of our life. If one continues sinning in this month, then all the rewards that have been accumulated by him will have been lost. It is narrated in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, many a fasting person receives nothing out of his fast except hunger. Let not our fast be like this, my beloved brothers. It is narrated in another hadith on the authority of Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu qal, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, as-siyamu junnah ma lam yakhriqha. Qil, wabima yakhriqha? Qal, bikithbin aw ghibah. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu reports that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, fasting is a protective shield for a person. As long as he does not tear up that protection. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, how does a person tear up that protection? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, by speaking lies or backbiting. It is narrated in another hadith, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man lam yada' qawla az-zur wal 'amala bih, falaysa lillahi hajatun fi an yada' ta'amahu wa sharabah. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who does not leave out speaking lies and does not stop doing false actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of him to leave out his food and his drink. My beloved brothers, along with fasting, we must stay away from sin. A man once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informing him of two women who were fasting, and they were about to die of thirst. Initially, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ignored him. But when he came for a second time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for the women. When they came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered one of them to vomit into a bowl that was brought. She vomited out fresh flesh, and she vomited out blood and pus that filled up half the bowl. Then he ordered the second woman to come and to force out vomit. Then she vomited the same amount into the bowl, and it became filled with vomit. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, these two women, they observed fasting, which is normally permissible, meaning they stayed away from food and drink, but they have broken their fast on that which is always impermissible, meaning they sat doing backbiting about people. Whilst we keep away from food and drink, which are normally permissible, it is essential and imperative that we abstain from all types of sin, which are permanently haram all year round. Backbiting does not only take place verbally, it also occurs in writing and texting and commenting. Let us make this Ramadan a social network-free Ramadan in order to save ourselves from gossiping and backbiting. Furthermore, we learn from this hadith that the one who engages in sin, he finds fasting very difficult. إذا لم يكن في السمع مني تصاون، وفي بصري غض، وفي منطقي صمت، فحظي إذن من صوم الجوع والظمأ، فإن قلت إني صمت يومي فما صمت.
If I don't protect my hearing, if I don't protect my gaze, and I don't remain silent, then my fast will just be hunger and thirst. If I say that I have fasted the entire day, the reality is I haven't really fasted.
My beloved brothers, we must commence the ta'aleem of fada'ili Ramadan by Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi in our homes to prepare us and our families for this great month in order to maximize all of these great opportunities. It is essential and important for us to draw up a timetable. We should try to cut down on our working hours if possible and spend as much time as possible in the masjid. If we cannot, then whilst at work, keep our tongue moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try, if we want to complete one juz a day, a simple way is with the 5 farad prayers, try to read 6 pages of Quran. With every farad prayer, if you read 6 pages, you will finish one juz a day. And inshallah, in the holy month of Ramadan, you will finish the entire Quran. Either you read 3 pages before the farad and 3 pages after, or you split it up accordingly. And lastly, my beloved brothers, in the holy month of Ramadan, it is highly encouraged to be generous in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha jawad yuhibbul jood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous and He loves those who are generous. I have no doubt that each and every single one of you are charitable in your own ways. One advice of my own teacher I will share with you today, and it stuck with me. He said, whenever there is an opportunity to donate towards a good cause, and the news of it reaches your ears, or someone requests you to donate, never walk away without donating. Even if it is as little as £1, you don't know which good deed of yours can be the means of you entering into Jannah. See it as an opportunity to invest in your akhirah. Shaitan will deceive you, and he will say, donate later, you're going to be back here tomorrow, do it then. But tomorrow never comes, my beloved brothers. Even when it does come, it comes as today. So give in the present so that we can preserve our future. I am sure many of us look around and think, the community of Glasgow doesn't need food, drink, clothing, shelter. The government provides it for us. So let me donate my charity in my own home country or to an organization which will help individuals and families in dire need. Yes, most definitely, my beloved brothers. We must help all brothers and our sisters all over the world. But it does not mean that we neglect the needs of our own community. Our own community has various needs. The masjid runs on the pennies and pounds that you donate. The masjid exists to protect and progress the iman of every individual, young and old, male and female, and to give da'wah to those who are Muslim and non-Muslim. They are doing what they can to provide the much needed services to the community. But if we don't protect our masajids in the form of assisting them financially, because this is Darul Asbab, we must adopt this Asbab first, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will descend upon us through our tawakkul. But then when the masjid stops providing these services and our own community and our own youth deteriorates before our very own eyes, then it's too late to say, I wish we had done more when we had the chance. My beloved brothers and sisters listening, the time is now and the masjid needs your assistance. Firstly, we will make intention. Every time you come for a prayer, you will put a few pence in the charity box. When you come for Jumu'ah, you will bring at least 100 pennies. I'm not going to say pounds. Don't be scared, it's just another way to say £1. On the Ramadan timetable, there is a QR code you will find. You can scan it and you can set up a £10 direct monthly direct debit to the masjid. It will come directly into the masjid. Many of us, we spend £10 more on one lunch. You go to our local takeaways, you'll spend more. You'll spend £10 or more on just one lunch. My beloved brothers, can we not sacrifice this for our local community, for our local masjid? Set it up. And just forget about it. Leave it active for the rest of your life. Even when you pass away, your bank account will have some funds in it. £10 a month will still come to the masjid. We are working on also creating a QR code where you can fix the monthly amount that you want to donate yourself. It can be less than £10. It can be more than £10. Once this is ready, we will inform everybody, inshallah.
And my beloved brothers, as you are all aware, we provide iftar in the masjid. Unfortunately, it's not free. It doesn't come free to the masjid either, even though we wish it was. It costs the masjid around £600 to provide iftar for one day. So if you can donate one iftar yourself, give your name on the way out. If not, get two friends together, donate £300 each. If not, get three friends together and donate £200 each. I'll share with you something. Our own madrasa students, we encourage them to donate towards covering one day's iftar. In 2 days, our madrasa students, 4, 5, 6 year olds, they managed to raise £700. So the very first iftar that we will be having in this masjid will be sponsored by the madrasa students. And one of our students, they got so motivated when they heard the reward of donating iftar that he went to his family and said, I want to donate an iftar myself. He phoned up all his family members and said, give me some donation, give me some donation. And in 2 days, he managed to raise £600 himself. My beloved brothers, this young man, he's barely even a teenager, and he achieved this. It truly shows us that if we encourage our kids towards good, they will exceed any expectations that we have of them. And as you will be aware, my beloved brothers, we are purchasing the next door house, 19 Burnham Road, to expand all the masjid services. And as the community grows, the need for space also grows. And alhamdulillah, we have great plans to use the property to benefit the community. One share has been fixed to £1,000 a person, and we need 300 brothers to come forward and donate and assist. Some of us here, you know, we're first generation. Some of us here are second generation. And some of us here might even be third generation. How many generations of our family have passed in Glasgow and we are still not, we are just takers from the government, we are receivers from the government, but we do not contribute anything effectively to the society. Why have so many years passed and the only thing that we have managed to achieve whilst we moved here is to open up a business and to acquire the dunya? We have not managed to properly set up investments to secure our akhirah. As a city, our masajid services are weak. Our madrasa services are weak. Our tabligh and da'wah services are weak. Our tazkiyah services are weak. Take it from me, my beloved brothers. They are very weak. If this is our state now, then how do we expect our future generations' iman to be preserved? When me and you were barely scraping it through with our iman intact, we need to step up and we need to move forward, my beloved brothers. You can donate either all the £1,000 in one go, if you have the means. If not, you pledge to pay £1,000, then you will pay £100 every single month, and in 10 months, your share will be complete. Every sajda, every ayah, every dua, and every benefit that is taken from the masjid, you will receive all the reward of everybody doing the deeds. It is a huge return for a small amount of money. And we have given our madrasa students charity boxes, my beloved brothers, for this cause as well. And they will be raising funds for 19 Burnham Road. They will try and cover one share themselves of £1,000 collectively. How wonderful would it be that each one of our students will have a share in this? Let us follow in their example, my beloved brothers. Let us all step forward and pledge to pay the £1,000 to this cause so that it can be covered. If we cannot do this, we will pledge to pay £100 to our masjid and it will be covered in 10 months, insha'Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to reach the holy and blessed month of Ramadan. And finally, if there is Taraweeh tonight, there will be no madrasa. If there is no Taraweeh tonight, then there will be madrasa. During the holy month of Ramadan, the Saturday classes are on, the Sanatain classes are on, and they will be normal time, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., but the football youth club will not be on during the holy month of Ramadan. And last but not least, my beloved brothers, we are very honored to have with us a jama'ah with us here today. All brothers are encouraged to spend time with them, take them for jawla, and sit with them in their talks and be very hospitable to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to act upon these advices that have been mentioned. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
Yeah.